You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I'm your host, Hende, and I'll be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. And before I kick off, I have to give another round of applause. That is for our very own Brave Gladiators, who just made history by beating Banyanya. That is South Africa. They beat them 2-1 in the Women's COSAFA final that just concluded a few minutes ago. The Brave Gladiators getting their very, very first COSAFA title. Congratulations to our ladies. As I said, beating South Africa 2-1 in the final that took place at the Peter Mokaba Stadium over in South Africa. The match ended 1-1 at full time at 90 minutes. And our ladies managed to get the win in extra time, thanks to a goal from substitute Memory Ngonda, who came off the bench to score the match-winning goal in the second minute of extra time. The first goal was scored by Muhinacho Hanavi, who equalized after South Africa took the lead early in the first half. And the man of the match, or the woman of the match rather, excuse me, was none other than the icon, the legend herself, that is Zenata Coleman, won the man of the match award. So congratulations once more to the Brave Gladiators, making the nation proud, making the football nation, the football lovers, making the whole nation proud by getting their very first COSAFA title. As usual, on the Eagle Sports Zone, we have a trivia question, and today's trivia question is, can you tell me the nation that has won the Women's COSAFA Cup the most times? Bonus points if you can call in with the correct number. I won't give you any hints because it will give the answer away. But if you'd like to call in, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. And make sure you are following us on all our social media pages. That is Eagle FM Namibia, that is on Facebook, that is on X, that is on Instagram, that is on LinkedIn, that is on WhatsApp as well. We have a WhatsApp channel that will keep you up to date with everything you need to know about everything happening in the entire world. If you'd like to subscribe to that WhatsApp channel, simply send a WhatsApp message to 081-241-44. That is 081-241-44. Make sure to save the number as a contact, and that is also the same number that you can message if you'd like to subscribe to the Village and newspaper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That is for your latest and greatest in business, economics, policy development, trade-related matters, agricultural-related matters, sports matters, in the palm of your hand for a total of $0 and 0 Namibian cents. All you have to do is subscribe via WhatsApp. Make sure to save that number as a contact. And that number one more time is 081-241-44. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, the Brave Gladiators have made history this afternoon. So if you'd like to call in with a message for the Gladiators, or just to share how you feel about the Gladiators getting that win, join us in the studio at 083-288-401. And I'll be back right on the other side of this.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku ditere opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as we get to our topic of the day, well, today is more of an open flowing conversation. We have several points we're going to touch on, and we'll be joined by the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation. Excuse me. That is Mr. Tauko Shilongo. We'll be joined by him in around 15, 20 minutes. He will join us to talk about the fantastic news that was announced earlier this week regarding one of our young cyclists, our phenom. That is none other than Mr. Roger Searin, but we'll get to that in just a moment. First, let me give you an update on some local football. That is round 21 of the Namibian Premier League took place this weekend. That was yesterday, to be exact. We'll start with FC Ongos up against Life Fighters. FC Ongos took that 2-0. African Stars played against Young African, tying 1-1. Bucks Buccaneers and Blue Waters played for a 1-1 draw as well. The Clever Boys of UNAM beat Mighty Gunners 2-1. KK Palace beating Rundu Chiefs 3-0. Okahanja United and 11 Arrows went up against each other. Okahanja United taking that one at 2-1. And the table after the round 21 fixtures, remember that was yesterday, leaves African Stars at the top of the table on 42 points. Chula Chula on 38 points. And before we continue with that, a reminder about what happened to Chula Chula earlier in the week. The NFA deducted 3 points for them, actually, because they came into this weekend, or were supposed to come into this weekend, tied on points with African Stars. But after that point deduction, which was due to fielding an ineligible player who had accumulated too many yellow cards and was supposed to be suspended for a fixture against Julinho Athletic back in January, Chula Chula played the player still. And of course, as a result, they had to be punished. They were docked 3 points and Julinho was given 3 points in return. And, I'd just like to read you part of a statement from Chula Chula in response to being deducted these 3 points. The Chula Chula management said, "This decision comes as a disappointment, but we urge you to remain calm and steadfast as we navigate this situation together. We want to remind our unwavering supporters that no level of intimidation, distraction, or confusion will deter our commitment to success." Now, as professional as that statement sounds, if I'm being quite frank, doesn't really address the issue, but I'll follow up on that point on the other side of this brief message from our friends at ShopRite. Short on cash? Then get to a U-Save for these super savings. 4 100-gram clover-flavored dairy snacks, just $20 Namibian for 2. That's 8 100-gram cups. 2-kilogram omiotic cultured milk, just $48.99 Namibian. 100-milliliter Colgate toothpaste, just $17.99 Namibian. 200-milliliter organic shampoo and conditioner, only $29.99 Namibian each. And Dry Naps premium disposable nappies, just $139.99 Namibian. Hurry up to your favorite You Save store.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as I was saying before the commercial break, Chula Chula responded to the point deduction by, let me just read it one more time, by saying, Then this decision comes as a disappointment, but we urge you to remain calm and steadfast as we navigate the situation together. We want to remind our unwavering supporters that no level of intimidation, distraction, or confusion will deter our commitment to success. Now, nice use of big words there, but there was no intimidation, there was no distraction or confusion in this matter. This was completely self-inflicted. They were not forced to play a player that was ineligible. They were warned by the NFA prior to say in official writing to say that your player cannot play in this following fixture, and he played regardless. So the only distraction or confusion came from the came from inside the Chula Chula camp. So unfortunately for them, they were docked 3 points, and that will greatly affect them in the title race, and it helps African Stars defend their title, and it helps Julinho in the fight to survive relegation. In terms of round 22 fixtures, we have Mighty Gunners up against FC Ongos. That ended 0-0. KK Palace and Julinho Athletic, that ended 0-0. 11 Arrows up against Bucks Buccaneers. 11 Arrows taking that one 1-0. Okahandja United took on Blue Waters. The Blue Waters took that 2-0. Young African beat Comas Nampol 1-0. African Stars thumped Tigers 6-2. Awilo getting on the score sheet twice. And then the Clever Boys lost to Life Fighters 2-1. In a moment, once our sources come through with the table, I'll give you an updated table on what happened in round 22. And now we move to what is going to be one of our focuses of today, is the announcement of our cycling phenom, that is Roger Searin. He is now officially a professional cyclist. He has been signed by Alpecin Premier Tech. This is a cycling team from Belgium. Yes, from Belgium. One of the world's leading cycling teams. He will be riding in the same team as some of the world's top professional riders, which include Matthew van der Poel from Netherlands and Samuel Gaze from New Zealand. Now, those of you that don't know, Searin put on a sensational performance at the UCI Mountain Bike World Championships last year over in Switzerland, when he won a silver medal in the junior men's race. And that's where actually he was initially contacted, is when he was participating on this world stage, and put Namibia on the map on this world stage. And he was actually racing in his new kit this weekend in South Africa at the Cross Country Mountain Bike Cup, where a host of young Namibian cyclists, including Delcia Jansen van Vuren, including Marco Thiel, including Rosemary Thiel, including Micah Chase, many youngsters that we spoke about over at the Nedbank Cycle Challenge that was last weekend, crossed the border and went over to South Africa to compete there as well, with many of them doing well, reaching podiums. A few of the youngsters got gold medals. I see Kara Volsheng won a gold. So congratulations to our young cyclists. And Roger will be moving on to Europe in June to live and compete in Europe as a professional cyclist. Roger is 18, by the way, if I haven't mentioned that already. So there's another great example of what sport, in this case cycling, can do for one's life. Roger, who I can attest to, is a machine on the bicycle. We've covered him several times. We've interviewed him as well. We'll try to get him during the week. As I said, they are busy now in South Africa with competitions. But fortunate for us, we will be able to speak to the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation in just a few moments. He will give us some insight and give us his thoughts on this great achievement by young Roger. Now, before we get to that, let's talk one of our favorite topics here on the Eagle Sports Zone, and that is the construction of sports fields. As you know, there's been some updates to the Sam Nujoma Stadium. Those renovations are slowly progressing. Independence Stadium, I cannot speak on. We don't know what's happening there. But if you recall, in the Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, as well as the NDP 6, which, by the way, both documents you can access via the Eagle FM mobile application. If you haven't downloaded it already, simply type in Eagle FM Namibia in the place where you get your apps, whether that's the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Free to download Eagle FM Namibia. And once you download the app, you will see a nice rotating billboard for you to interact with. This billboard will give you access to documents such as the NDP 6, such as the Swapo Party Manifesto Implementation Plan, such as the latest census reports, all kinds of reports from institutions such as the World Economic Forum, the World Bank. There's all kinds of annual reports. I saw one recently about the Namibia Airports Company. The latest budget is there in full, if you'd like to access that. So all kinds of information is there for you for free on the Eagle FM mobile application that allows you, by the way, to listen to Eagle FM from anywhere in the world. So to everyone listening from, whether it's you're in Namibia, whether you're in China, whether you're in the USA, whether you're in Brazil, whether you're in Germany, whether you happen to be unfortunate enough to be in places experiencing turmoil at the moment, which we'll get into in just a moment about the Iranian national team. Even in places like that, you can access the Eagle FM mobile application. Now, with that said, as I was saying, the government has made a huge promise to build sporting facilities all around the country. They're building what they have termed as basic sporting infrastructures, one in each constituency in this nation. For those that don't know, we have 121 constituencies. So the government has promised to build 121 basic sporting facilities throughout the course of the next four, let's call it 5 years. And ground all over the country has broken or is about to break in regards to the beginning of rolling out these facilities, right? And in a few moments, after I read the statement from the ministry, I'll tell you what a basic sporting facility consists of, as the deputy minister, Mr. Dina Balotti, gave us that update last year, but I'll give you a refresher in just a moment. But the ministry released a statement. This was on Friday, and it reads as follows. In fulfillment of the commitments contained in the Swapo Party Manifesto, the government is pleased to inform the Namibian public, within our first year in office, we have successfully commenced with the construction of 28 basic constituency infrastructure facilities across 28 constituencies in all 14 regions. So 28 of the 121 promised facilities have begun. That leaves 93 outstanding, right? The milestone marks a decisive step in strengthening sport infrastructure, promoting youth development, advancing decentralized service delivery, and ensuring equitable regional development where access to sport facilities is felt by all Namibians. This is something you guys call in all the time about. We don't have sport facilities and where? So now the government has heard your cries. They have told us through all their various campaigns and whatnot. And now they are putting their money where their mouth is, literally. Through the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, implementation responsibility for the construction of these facilities has now been formally handed over to the respective offices of regional governors, in line with the directive of Her Excellency, the President of the Republic of Namibia. So before I continue the statement, this is something very important that we have to focus on, and we'll maybe have a whole show dedicated to this. I'll say it again. The implementation responsibility for the construction of these facilities has now been formally handed over to the respective offices of regional governors. So, Office of the Governor in Comas, Erongo, Kunene, all our regions, Ambezi, Kavango East, Kavango West, Hadab. It is now, the ball is now in your court, essentially, is what the ministry is saying. They've done their part by giving the finances, by doing all the required red tape in the background, and now it is in your hands to put these facilities up. Not only to put these facilities up, but also once they are built, to maintain these facilities. I mean, we saw no better example than the infamous Independence Stadium, the infamous Sam Nyoma Stadium. Doesn't help we build these nice things. And then after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they become a white elephant. They become dilapidated and things of that nature. So the ball is now in the court of the regional governors. And I hope, I so hope that they do justice to this project and that our young boys and girls and men and women can now have access to great sporting facilities. But the statement continues. It says, in line with the directive of Her Excellency, the President of the Republic of Namibia, while implementation authority now rests with the regions, the ministry maintains national policy oversight, shall continue to provide technical advisory support, reporting, coordination, and future budgeting responsibilities under VOTES 27. To enable immediate implementation, government has ensured that 1. Ring-fence commercial bank accounts have been opened for all 14 regions. An amount of 10 million Namibian dollars has been deposited into each regional account, and all nominated regional signatories have been duly registered to access and manage the funds in line with approved financial controls. So again, basically the government is saying, we did our part, we got you your money, we got you your land, whatever you need, now it is on you to put up these facilities. Okay? And let me... let me give you the sites in each of the regions where this is going to happen, where these, 28 facilities will be built. We'll start with the Zambezi region that is going to be in the Katima rural constituency. The site is the Bukalo and Sibinda constituency. Excuse me. Let's start over. In Zambezi, there's the Katima, in the Katima rural constituency, in the Bukalo and Sibinda constituency, and as well as, yeah, those two. In the Irongo region is the Karabib constituency and the Daurus constituency. In the Kavango East region is the Mukwe constituency and the Rundu rural constituency. The site for the Rundu rural constituency will be Mayana, and the Mukwe constituency will be Divundu. In Kavango West It is going to be in the Musese constituency at High Sisira, to be specific. And then the Nkamangoro constituency, that will be in Nkamangoro. The Ohangwena region, in the Ohangwena region, it's going to be in the Okongo constituency and the Endola constituency. In Omusati, it's going to be in the Onesi constituency, as well as the Otamanzi constituency. In the Omaheke region, it's going to be in the Ochinene constituency, and as well as the Ochombinde constituency. In the Kunene region, it's going to be in Kamanyab and the Epupa constituency. In the Oshana region, we're now going to the O's, it's going to be in the Ongwediva constituency, as well as the Ondangwa rural constituency. In the Oshikoto region, it's going to be in the Onkankolo constituency, as well as the Gwinas constituency. Ochozonjupa is going to be in the Otavi constituency, as well as the Omatako constituency. Over in Hardap, it's going to be over in the Aranos constituency, as well as Rehoboth East. In the Karas region, we're talking about Beseba, as well as Karasburg West. And finally, in Komazet, it's going to be in the John A. Pandeni constituency, as well as the Moses Garab constituency. And the statement ends with, regions have been advised to allocate funds equitably between the two identified constituency sites per region, with flexibility permitted where justified by technical and site-specific requirements. Importantly, regions are legally empowered to proceed with the procurement in accordance with the Public Procurement Act of 2015. To further support efficient delivery, the Ministry has reserved and secured funding for all consultancy-related services, ensuring that technical expertise do not burden regional infrastructure budgets. That's interesting. Construction is commencing at sites in Kunene, Oshana, and Kavango East, with all other regions to follow in the coming days and weeks. Construction is guided by standardized technical designs while incorporating local conditions and requirements. As part of the transparency and public accountability, regional governors shall be hosting symbolic groundbreaking ceremonies. One of our favorite things in this nation is groundbreaking ceremonies. Ahead of the 21st March 2026, signaling the visible commencement of construction across the country. This achievement reflects what is possible when ministry, regional authorities, and communities work together with urgency and purpose. And yeah. So that's what the ministry has given us in terms of sporting facilities. Work is being done. They are living up to their word. Now, we will go for a short musical break, as we will be joined by the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation, that is Mr. Tauko Shilongo, to talk to us about what the signing of Roger Suren means. We'll be back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as promised, we are joined on the line by the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation, that is Mr. Telko Shilongo. Mr. Telko, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. You know, it's Super Sunday, so we're busy watching soccer and all. But yeah, I'm doing extremely well.
Yes, yes, the brave gladiators just did the nation proud.
I mean, what else can we ask for? As long as we're getting those accolades as a country in the sports fraternity, then we're all good.
100%. So thank you for joining us, and we have you on the line to talk about our very own cycling phenom, that is Roger Suren, who recently just went professional. So my first question for you is, as the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation, what was your initial reaction to hearing about Roger signing for Alpecin Premier Tech?
Well, it wasn't a surprise because I think it was long overdue.
Yeah.
Especially after his performance at the world mountain bike competition in Switzerland last year, where he came second and he got a silver, which basically means he's number two in the world as we speak currently.
Mm-hmm.
So the conversation started long time ago, but it should not be a surprise because, I mean, the boy has been putting on a lot of work,
yeah,
at his tender age. So we just excited and happy that at his age he already got a professional contract.
Mm-hmm.
He just finished school last year. I mean, what else can you ask for as an athlete?
100%. And, you know, he'll be following in the footsteps of other Namibian cyclists such as our very own Olympians, Vera Lusa, Alex Miller, Dan Craven, in terms of local cyclists who have gone professional. So for the listeners, can you maybe explain or give an overview of what it actually means to be a professional cyclist? When someone says so-and-so is a professional cyclist, what does that mean?
To give context, it's pretty much straightforward. I can give an example of a soccer player that gets signed by a team like Barcelona or Man City or Real Madrid, you know. Coming from a small country like Namibia, in the southern part of Africa, it's huge. It's huge for this boy. So he's basically a paid athlete now. He's a professional paid athlete.
Yeah.
He's riding for one of the best teams in the world, called Alpecin. The likes of Matthew van der Poel, who's a ex-world champion,
mm-hmm,
I'm right for that team. And he's the only from Africa. Roger is the only one that represents that team.
Yeah.
So he has put Namibia on the map once again, because you've got the likes of Dan Craven. Alex Miller is also based in Europe as a professional cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
Vera Losa is now based in South Africa, but she's still a professional cyclist. They're signed by teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they ride for teams and they get money. If you can generate money from the talent that you've received from God, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, 100%. And
yeah,
Following up on what you said about Roger being the only African, I mean, obviously he's now carrying the weight of Namibia, but he's essentially carrying the weight of the continent on his back as well. And at the World Championships last year in Rwanda, you know, there was a big sentiment about how there's this clear difference between the access that young European riders have to such opportunities in comparison to their African counterparts. And as you mentioned, if you look at the Alpecin roster, Roger is the only African amongst a sea of European and some Australian and New Zealand riders. So this means that Roger is world class in every sense of the word. With that said, now, how do we as a country make sure that Roger is not the last Namibian to achieve such a feat?
I'm sure even when you're asking that question yourself, you're getting goosebumps, right?
Yes, yes.
Same this side. He's carrying the continent on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But just to elaborate a bit on Roger himself, he's a level-headed boy.
Yeah.
He's a true professional, kind boy, and he knows what the goalpost is.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to give thanks to his coach also, Hans De Toit, who's the national coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got the national coach, Mr. Yafet Amukushu. You know, we need to give credit to these coaches that are grooming these athletes into world class athletes. But now that then as a country and as a federation, we've taken steps where we want to get a professional national team.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a national team, you get all your juniors and all your senior teams, a mix of that, and then they need to be partaking in all these world tours, whether it's mountain bike, whether it's gravel, whether it's road, where you compete against the elite, where you compete in Africa. I mean, in Rwanda, there was now a tour de Rwanda. I mean, if we had a national team that could compete, that can compete in those type of races, then you are slowly but surely grooming these athletes. They are young girls and young boys that have got real talent out here in Namibia. As we speak currently, the federation has sent a guy from the previously disadvantaged community,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Peter Zanga, as we speak. He arrived in Cape Town Paul today at one of the World Cycling Centers, which is hosted by the UCI, which is the mother body of cycling in Namibia.
Yeah.
So from a developmental point of view, this is what we are doing, and this is what we are trying to groom these athletes. So to get that exposure and high level of racing. Because not to say that we don't have a high level of racing here, but
mm-hmm.
when you go racing South Africa or racing Rwanda or racing Europe, you just get experience, and all we need is experience and hard work. So what we are doing is like I previously alluded that they are quite promising youngsters, yeah, and we've seen them, we've sent them to the African champs, and they're out there to get it. I mean, they all dream about is cycling. So as a federation, we're trying to collaborate with the corporate world, the government, because you know this, we want to align to the NDP 6, where the president gave sports second priority, you know, category in Namibia. So why not take this opportunity and groom these people and send them out there to get professional cyclists like the likes of Roger. I mean, he's just 18.
Yeah.
He's 18 and he's a professional athlete already.
Yeah.
He'll be racing, obviously, for the next few months. He'll be racing in Namibia, and then he relocates to Belgium in June.
Mm-hmm.
Where he'll be racing now in Europe. He was currently racing in South Africa at the South African champs. So he came third yesterday, and today he came fifth, and he raced in his new sponsored kit and in his new team.
Yeah, when you're checking
the results and following the races. He's a good athlete.
Yeah, looking very professional in his new kit. So, lastly,
he just doesn't look professional. He is professional. I can attest to it. Even yourself, I mean, you've experienced him in Rwanda.
Yeah, 100%.
All of us. Yeah.
Yeah, I can. For the listeners, I can definitely say that Roger is as young as he is. He's like very calm, very well mannered. He's like he's a high performing athlete in everything he does. You can see it.
Yeah.
Lastly, can you put into words what this achievement by Roger means for Namibian cycling as a whole?
You know, when you read the papers, when you read the media,
mm-hmm.
When you go into Facebook, under the Namibian, under an Eagle FM, under Namibian Sun, and you read the comments, people are really excited. But they're excited for Roger and also excited for the country and excited for the federation, because we try and really do what we really can with the limited resources we have. But it's huge for the country. It's like having a guy playing, like I said, for Barcelona or playing for Real Madrid, an individual playing for that team. That's where we are.
100%. Mr. Telco, thank you very much for your time. Before I let you go, is there any last words you'd like to leave with the listeners?
Let's always support sports. I mean, sports also contribute to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Sports, tourism. I would like to say that as a federation and as a country, we've gotten the go ahead to host the African Travel Champs for the second time around, which is the second time it's happening on the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We had the opportunity of hosting it last year for the first time, and they probably saw what we Namibians can do.
Yeah.
That's why they've given us again the green light and the go ahead. That race will be on the 22nd of August. The sponsor, our sponsor and the organizers would be, Holland Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
They're also putting in a lot into cycling. We're calling the nation to really come support these races and support these youngsters of the likes of Roger, Kara, all these athletes. Yeah.
100%. Mr. Talco, thank you very much for your time and enjoy your evening further.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yes, that was the president of the Namibian Cycling Federation, Mr. Talco Shilongo, giving us his thoughts on the fantastic achievement by Roger Searon. And as Talco alluded to, Roger is someone that, you know, as Eagle FM's sports reporter, sports journalist, sports photographer, whatever you want to call it, I've seen Roger in action with my own two eyes, and I can confidently say this guy is a machine, both on the trails in the mountains and on the road as well. It's incredible to see how he performs. I mean, he's only 18 now, but for like a year or so now, he's been going up against the men and giving them a run for their money, oftentimes beating the older men as well. And now he's going to be obviously competing against the men, or probably racing a few junior categories, but still, incredible achievement, incredible to see what hard work can do, what talent can do if it's just given a bit of support. Roger has received a bit of support from local companies, of course, like the haulers that he mentioned, your FNBs, your Nedbanks that put on these competitions that Roger competes in, that hone his skill. So, 10 out of 10, we couldn't say more. Can't have anything more better to say than what we've already given Roger. So, we hope in the next few months, and as time goes by, we see him raising the Namibian flag on the international stages, picking up gold medals, picking up trophies, breaking records. And yes, that is what we have in terms of cycling. Before we see if the press conferences from the COSAFA have taken place yet, let me give you an update on European football. Primarily, that is the English Premier League. We'll start with today's results. Manchester United, the Red Devils, in hot, hot form. Trying my best to hide my bias, but Manchester United beating a Crystal Palace 2-1, coming from a goal down, actually, where Crystal Palace scored in the fourth minute, but none other than Bruno Fernandes came through with a penalty in the second half to equalize, and then Mr. Benjamin Sesko with a header in the 65th minute of the fixture. And that is now, six wins in their last seven fixtures for the Red Devils ever since Sir Michael Carrick took the reins. And, okay, let me do the other fixtures before I do the table. Right now you have Arsenal up against Chelsea. Ooh, Arsenal just scored. Actually, it is now 1-0 for Arsenal In a few moments, I'll be able to tell you who exactly scored for Arsenal. But other fixtures, Tottenham having an abysmal season, ladies and gentlemen. They lost 2-1 to Fulham. Brighton beat Nottingham Forest 2-1 as well. And yesterday, you had Liverpool in action against West Ham. Liverpool defending champions, many people forget. And now, they beat West Ham 5-2. And the team chasing Arsenal for the title, that is Manchester City, beat Leeds United 1-0. Thanks to a goal from their January signing, that is Antoine Semenyo. So as things stand right now at 6:53 p.m. in the English Premier League, and it was William Saliba who scored for Arsenal. But as things stand right now in the table, Arsenal have a 5-point lead over Manchester City on 64 points. City are on 59 points in second place. And in third place, ladies and gentlemen, is Manchester United on 51 points. In fourth place, that is Aston Villa on 51 points as well. Defending champions Liverpool are in fifth on 48. And then in sixth, you have Chelsea on 45 points. At the bottom of the table, you have Wolves, Burnley, and West Ham in the bottom three. Tottenham, like I said, were having an abysmal season, are just 4 points from the relegation zone. So if anything changes in the Arsenal-Chelsea fixture, I will, of course, keep you up to date. Moving on to La Liga. Barcelona played yesterday, and the teenage sensation, many people forget this guy is still a teenager, he's 18 years old. Scored a hat-trick yesterday against Villarreal to give Barcelona a 4-1 victory over Villarreal. Atletico Madrid beat Real Oviedo 1-0, and Real Madrid will be in action tomorrow against Getafe. As things stand in La Liga, Barcelona have a 4-point lead at the top over Real Madrid, who are in second place on 60 points. Atletico Madrid in third on 51 points. Villarreal in third on 51 points as well. Over in the Bundesliga, Der Klassiker took place. That is Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund. Bayern Munich winning that one 3-2. In what was quite an entertaining fixture, Harry Kane scoring a double. Joshua Kimmich getting the winner in the 87th minute. And as things stand in that table, Bayern Munich have a 11-point lead. I mean, I think we can call that one that Harry Kane and Vincent Kompany are going to get their hands on the Bundesliga trophy. Have an 11-point lead over Borussia Dortmund. Bayern on 63 points, Dortmund on 52, Hoffenheim on 46, and rounding off the top four is Stuttgart on 46 points as well. So we will take a short musical break, and then if the press conferences from the COSAFA final have commenced, we will tune in live there as well. If you're just now joining us, the Brave Gladiators have won the 2026 Hollywood Bets COSAFA Championships in South Africa, beating host South Africa 2-1 in the final, and the legendary, the iconic Zenata Coleman won the Man of the Match award as well. We will be back right after this.
Yeah. All right, we're jamming. I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming. Thank you.
revolution here, we're jamming. Stop to our war, we're jamming. See, I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming.
Get 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Yes, that was the wonderful sounds of the icon, the legend, the man himself, Mr. Bob Marley. Now we turn back to South Africa, back to the Women's Kosovo Championship. Let's hear from the player of the match, Namibia's very own Zenata Coleman.
Fabulous in commentary today. Drama, absolute drama, but history for Namibia. It's been 20 years, and what a story it is for this team. And joining me is the player of the match, and to hand over is, of course, John, a representative of Hollywood Bets. Zenata, please take it. Congratulations. Just to talk about today's performance, it took so much heart from your team. What does it mean to win?
You know, the first half, you know, we were not our ready. But we decided, you know, the second half, it should belong to us, you know. And we came back, you know, we made an equalizer. And then, yeah, we were back in the lead.
What were some of the adjustments that you made? Because you started well in that second half, but South Africa made substitutes and they started pushing you guys really, really high. What were some of the adjustments that you made, especially in that extra time?
You know, we just needed to show more aggressive, you know. We needed to keep the ball more, you know. And we were back in the lead, you know. So that's what it helps us more. And then we scored a late goal. So, yeah, thanks to the girls, you know, I cannot be proud of them.
Your defensive organization, very stubborn, and also just so compact in the midfield, just giving South Africa so many problems to go forward.
Yeah, definitely. We needed to, like, you know, because we have been training, you know, to play defensive, because we know we're going to suffer, you know, because Banyana is so keep the ball in, you know, and then that's why we are ready, yeah.
Congratulations. You've been knocking. You've been playing COSAFA for so many years, and you've been knocking, and finally, Zenata, you get it.
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, it means a lot. You know, now I can say goodbye to COSAFA. And yeah, thanks a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Well, the coach did say that this is Zenata's final COSAFA. The 31-year-old is hanging her COSAFA boots. So you can imagine how much it means for her after 20 years to finally hand it to Namibia. Joining me now is Coach Desiree Ellis. Coach, what's your summation of such a long match that needed so much character, so much heart, physicality, everything, Coach, was asking of Banyana today?
If you don't score, you don't win. They had a lot of chances. I think they had two, and they took it. And I spoke about taking our chances. We could have scored three in extra time, and well done to them. They fought, and we were brave today, but just didn't go our way.
Coach, the substitutes that you made, especially in that second half, it looked like things were slowly now starting to stable. You were going forward. Ludwig was getting those crosses. It just Asanda coming to stabilize the left. It looked like things were coming together.
Once again, I say we create so many chances. I mean, in the extra time, we hit the post. Lorna either side of the goalkeeper, then it's a goal. And we got caught with a sucker punch, you know. But, you know, they gave everything that they had. I'm very proud of the group. They were magnificent today and magnificent the whole tournament. And I couldn't have asked for a bigger effort from them.
Coach, finally, just your overall wrap of this tournament, the team you've seen, as I did say in the pre-match, that of course you are preparing for WAFCON. And it comes down to you for selection. You've seen the players. Every single player has played in this tournament.
Yeah, it makes our decision very difficult. And that's what we want, a difficult decision. But say thank you to the crowd as well. They were magnificent and tried to lift us. But I want to congratulate Namibia. You know, they took their chances. They hung in there and they were resolute in defense.
Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you.
Well, Coach Desiree Ellis is saying that if you don't take your chances, well, you do not win. But she says, I cannot fault the players because they gave it all. Coach Leslie Kakuva, who joins me. Coach, in your first season here as the head coach, COSAFA, it's been 20 years, and you come and you deliver for this nation.
Oh, massive, massive congratulations to Namibia. Tough match. We struggled during the early phases of the match, but that is understandable. Football consists of various phases. I think we changed our tactics a bit in the second half. After being one goal down, we decided to, you know, withdraw one defensive midfielder, added one offensive midfielder, and then increase our confrontation in line. And then it paid off in the first few minutes. We start to get hold of the ball, I mean, of the game, totally start to control the game. Yeah, you know, it's history in the making. I can only be proud to be Namibian.
Coach, I must take you back to when you conceded that goal, because of course there was that defensive error between the miscommunication between your defender as well as the goalkeeper, Matthews. But Coach, the character your team showed to really calm down and to just get back into the game?
Yeah, that is in our nature. You know, it was a very, very cheap goal to concede. But then football is a game of two halves. I told the girls during halftime, this is what we're going to change tactically. But then I want the second half to belong to us. And that is exactly what happened. From the onset of the second half, the impetus was clear. The energy was different. And then, yeah, we cannot ask for more.
Coach, congratulations. Go join your team.
Thank you very much.
Coach Kakuba, very happy indeed with his team's performance. And rightly so.
Yes, that was the post-match reaction from the COSAFA Women's Final. The iconic, the legendary Zanata Coleman announcing there that this is a final tournament, and what better way to bow out than to, one, lift the COSAFA title for the first time, and two, win the Man of the Match award in her final fixture. Zanata has been playing for the national team since 2010. At the age of 17, she's now 31. And if you do the math on that, that's 14 years of service to our great nation that she's put on for Namibia. Zanata is someone who's played in Europe. Not arguably, I would say, I confidently say that she is our best women's player of all time. Actually, I don't want to put the woman's tag on her. She's one of the best footballers Namibia has ever produced, period. Her trophy cabinet substantiates that. Her statistics substantiate that. And we can only tip our cap off to Zanata. And actually, let's take a listen to what she had to say before this final.
We are now joined by Namibia coach Leslie Kakuba and the player Zanata Coleman. Before we start, maybe can we put your phones on silent?
Hello? Yes. Yeah, the reaction is great, you know, like the support has been amazing, you know, and the captain, Lovisa Mulunka, you know, we've started playing actually when we were like 13 years old, you know, since then, and Emma Naris, you know, we have like Tapoya Katuda, you know, we have like 5 to 6, you know, of us, you know, and I think, you know, we have this great opportunity to make history for ourselves, you know, because we've come a long way of this national team, you know, and we just want to give back, you know, and tomorrow we have a really, really great opportunity, and we are just ready and excited to you know, lift this trophy.
Do you have any other questions? Yes, let's have one.
Coach, obviously you're playing South Africa. They know how to win this tournament. They haven't won it since 2020, but they're the record champions with 7 titles. They know how to win it. And, you know, they've won their WAFCON, we know, and they're going to another WAFCON. Your guys, it's the first time in 20 years. You've already caused an upset, dethroned a champion. How big will it be, you know, and also how are you approaching this game? How big will it be for you to claim these 2 scouts?
Yeah, it's quite a big occasion for us, you know, playing against the home team. The pressure will be there. More so, the pressure will be on Bafana. All we can do is to, you know, accord them the opportunity of saying that they are one of the best teams as far as women's football is concerned on the continent. But then, you know, as we sit, currently we are on equal footing. Score now is 0-0. We have got an opportunity to cause an upset. So far, we managed it twice. You know, reaching the semi-final without kicking a ball. Beating a powerhouse Zambia yesterday. No one gave us a chance. And coming up against South Africa tomorrow, you know, from a neighborly perspective, there's no need for me to motivate the girls. They know what they have to do. We are not, you know, gonna do something special in terms of our tactics. Our game plan is very clear. And then tomorrow, it's important that we execute the game plan to the best of our ability. We watched South Africa yesterday. So, I think it's good for us. I think we can work out something to our favor.
Okay. Coach, you're speaking about defeating Zambia yesterday, and I just want to know about the psychological aspect of the game. A lot of time you're so focused on the physical aspect of the game, but just what is the team doing, or what are you saying to the girls to make sure that you're working on their psychological health as much as you're working on their physical abilities?
Yeah, you know, the psychological part is actually the most important part, but at the same time, the part is that is also neglected because you know, the level where we are at the highest level, that in itself should be a motivation for the girls. But more motivating is the fact that they've reached the semifinals and now they are in the final. We cannot drop the laurels. We have to aim for the highest possible position. The highest possible position is to win tomorrow. So the girls are in a good space. They are motivated. They were motivated to play against Zambia. They are more motivated to beat South Africa tomorrow. So mentally, they are prepared, ready to give their all. Now we start to feel like champions. The inspiration is there. And then, I cannot ask for more. I'm sure that tomorrow, you know, as far as the mental psyche is concerned, they are ready to give it a go.
Good morning, Coach. My name is Sebastian from One Nation FM. Are you now, regarding yourself as an underdog?
I like the underdog talk, Tech. I mean, the previous questions are attesting to it. And then it puts us in a better position. I'm not sure as to how South Africa will prepare, whether they will prepare with a mentality of being the favorites, you know. But for us, I like this underdog talk because I like for us to cause an upset. We'll cause an upset tomorrow.
Zanetta, I want to ask you two questions. One, are you retiring from international football or this is just stepping away from COSAFA? And what has been your best memories playing at COSAFA?
No, I'm not definitely retiring from national team, you know, because I still have a goal, you know. This is one of my goals is to, like, qualify, you know, for WAFCON. You know, I have this target, you know, this is one of my dreams. I'm just taking away from COSAFA because I want to give opportunity to the youngsters. You know, we have so much great talent back in Namibia, and, you know, I think I've done my job, you know, for the national team, for COSAFA also, you know. So I just want to step away and give opportunity to the youngsters.
The second question was?
Your memories. Some of the best memories. Playing at COSAFA Cup.
I think it's going to come tomorrow, right? The best memory will definitely be lifting the trophy tomorrow. So, yeah, this will be my best memory.
Do you have any other questions?
Just a last one from me, from Zinedine. I mean, when you sit down with the girls, man, I mean, what are the clocks, you know, going to the final tomorrow?
Yesterday, some of the girls were watching the semi-final between South Africa and Zimbabwe, and they really were like, you know, looking forward to play South Africa, you know, because they've caused upset to Zambia, and they were looking, you know, for Banyana to play in the final. And, you know, the team is just, you know, in high spirits, you know, they are happy to play Banyana tomorrow. And I think the girls are just definitely ready, you know, like they are highly motivated and just looking forward to the final.
Do you have any other questions for the coach? Okay, with the absence of questions.
Yes, there was a Zenata Coleman, as well as the head coach of the Brave Gladiators, speaking to the media before the final. And poetically, Zenata said her best COSAFA memory would be lifting the title today. And she ended up living up to her words. She manifested it. And I'm sure no one is happier than Zenata herself. as a fan myself, I'm also very happy to see her achieve this, to see her receive the continental shine that she deserves. Yeah, that's what we have from the African Cup of Nations. Let's see if the official press conference has been released. Yes, indeed it has. So let's take a listen.
Thank you for the second press conference for Namibia, of course, the champions of the COSAFA Women's Championship.
This is Coach Leslie Kavuka, excuse me, giving us his thoughts after the ladies' triumph.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, 20 years is a long time. It has never happened in our history. Here we are sitting as champions of COSAFA 2026. So, you know, it's an indescribable feeling. The girls are happy. I can feel the people back home are happy. Yeah, let me take you back to how things unfolded. You know, we were obviously in a group of three. We won the first match, lost the second match. And then I told the girls, now we had to take out calculators. But then from the onset, you could see that this tournament was meant to be for us. Mozambique did us a favor. Then we came up against a very, very strong opponent, Zambia. But I think on the day, you know, we had to play to our strength. And tactically, I think we were spot on. And then we scored at the right time. We scored during the 89th minute. And from that perspective, there was no turning back. And then coming back to another team that is WAFCON bound, South Africa, Bananya. Also a tough match. I think we struggled during the first 40 minutes of the game. You know, our distances were not the right. We showed a lot of respect for Bananya. But then we regrouped during halftime, telling the girls that, we took off one defensive midfielder, and then we changed our style of play by adding two more offensive midfielders. And then from the onset, we could see that there are so many opportunities for us in this game. We scored the equalizing goal very early on in the second half. And then we started to control the game. Ultimately, we scored the goal, second goal. And then, you know, the rest was to defend, and then the rest is history for us.
Hi coach, congratulations on your win and the title. My name is Tabo Mathurja from Guiding Report. When the second half game starts, you can tell from like your team's first kick that they were intending to actually pull one back and make the goal and actually take a lead. If you could take us through maybe your halftime talk, like when you walked off the pitch with a 1-0 scoreline, what did you give them and what did you tell the ladies that when they came back in the second half, it was just, you know, guns blazing?
You know, I just transferred a very simple message, because football is a game of two halves. The first 45 minutes belonged to the opponent. We were not organized. And then we had to regroup, you know, immediately during the stanza. I've decided to pull off two players and then bring off offensive midfielders. And then I could see, you know, we got the stranglehold of the second half. The opponent started to backtrack. We started to possess the ball more, create opportunities. Luckily, we scored. And then, you know, a game of football only changes through goals. That is exactly what happened. It spurred us on because it seems in the second half, obviously, it's the most important half. We wanted more than South Africa. And then, yeah, we scored a second goal. And then from there onwards, there were tough moments, but I know defensively that we are resolute. We have proven during the course of the tournament. And then, yeah, I'm sitting here, you know, as a champion coach.
Good evening, coach, and congratulations on winning our medal.
Thank you.
My name is Sebastian from Manishinafo. Well, my question is short. I just want to know what the future holds, you know, for the ladies who are going forward.
Yeah, the future of Namibian women's football looks bright. As far as the team is concerned, I had six players that are under 20. But then obviously three were playing. But then, my observation is that our team also needs to go into transition. There are a couple of players that has become long in the tooth. So obviously we need to transition the team as quick as possible. I think there are no tournaments left for us during the course of the year. So yeah, it gives us ample time to really start to introduce younger players. And then to look forward to the rest of our future. But I can for sure say that our future looks good.
Good evening, Coach. Congratulations. That medal looks very good on you, by the way. Coach, you speak about this tournament was meant for you. You look at the game and you also speak about transitioning the team. Obviously, with Zenata, obviously, say having said that this is the last Kosafa. But you look at the game, she missed, I think, about two chances. Then she was involved in the goal as an assist in everything. Take us through that. And the emotions that she had, obviously yesterday in the pre-match, she said that this would be her best memory. But you could see that the team, everybody ran towards her and she was emotional. Take us through the figure that she has been and how hard she has worked to say, I want to win Kosafa and anything, how it unfolded, especially.
Is that she's concerned? Yeah. It's sometimes, you find it difficult to describe, but then Senada is an amazing player. She was our catalyst. What she brings to our game is unbelievable because she draws attention. To the opponent, pull together three or four players because of her presence and then play the ball to the next player. I think, it's a last tournament, and then even though I saw that during the course of the game there were many tackles on her, but then from a coaching perspective I thought, no, I'm not gonna deny her this opportunity. She's still a catalyst, and that exactly happened. So she created chaos, she created danger. The opposition, you could lay down, see they were on shaky grounds, lot of fouls. We started to control the game. And then I'm just happy for Senada that, considering a decision that this is her last Kosafa, that she managed to end on a victorious note, being a champion.
Obviously, you haven't played the two teams that are headed to WAFCON. What is your assessment? Obviously, you gave them a tough time, obviously, dethroned Zambia and made sure that South Africa also won the WAFCON in their home turf. Don't get to lift a trophy that they last lifted in 2020. Headed into WAFCON, do you feel that they had a little bit of that tough, competition to prepare them? And also with Namibia, now we're seeing more teams from the southern region go to WAFCON. It was Botswana last, now there is Malawi as well. But Namibia, where do you put yourselves in terms of trying to get to that stage?
Yeah, in terms of our population, we are a small country as far as population is concerned. So the pool of players keeps on improving. I think it's good for Zambia, South Africa to have participated. Maybe they could, expose some of the players that usually don't play. Yeah, but I think we played both countries, and then obviously football is work in progress. We played to our strength. Sometimes I heard that one of the coaches saying that the opposition was playing defensively. So football is such a game, you need to find solutions, especially finding offensive solutions. Attacking solutions is not easy. But to work on your defense is easy because you just need to close the lines and then play on transition. But then I think women's football in Southern Africa is on the up. And then going forward, it can only get better. But then Zambia, South Africa, especially South Africa, has won the WAFCON before. Zambia, is starting to take over as far as Southern Africa is concerned. And then, I think they stand a good chance, either Zambia or South Africa. to make inroads as far as this yes WAFCON is concerned.
If you have one question, then this brings us to the end of our press conference. Coach, thank you so much. You can go and celebrate with your team. We're giving you the whole day to go celebrate into the media. Thank you so much for attending every press conference for the COSAFA Women's Championship. See you for the next edition. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. That was Coach Leslie giving us his post-match reaction to making history with the Brave Gladiators. And like I promised you, when it comes to the Arsenal and Chelsea fixture, it is now halftime and it is 1-1. In that fixture, like I said, William Saliba opened the scoring in the 21st minute, and then an own goal from Hinkapi put the Blues back in action. It is now 1-1 in that fixture. And if things remain as they are now, Arsenal will be on 62 points, just 3 ahead of chasing Manchester City. So a very important half coming up for the Gunners in terms of the title race. Do you remember that? As it stands right now, Arsenal actually have a match in hand over Manchester City. Excuse me, Manchester City have a match in hand. Because this is Arsenal's 29th match. And City have only played 28 games. So, and the two sides still have to face each other at the Etihad. So things are warming up in the title race for the English Premier League. Let's move on to the Tour de Rwanda that took place. Rwanda, if you've been listening, you know that's now my new favorite country. The Tour de Rwanda took place, and it was won by a certain Mr. Moritz Kretschy, a German, who cycles for NSN, the NSN development team. He won the general title. Stage 8 was won by Henok Mulubran, a gentleman from Eritrea. Stage 7 was won by Henrique Bravo, a Brazilian. Stage 6 was won by a Israeli, Itamar Einhorn. Stage 5 was won by Jermaine Zemke, who is also from Germany. Stage 4 was won by Mathias de Klerk, who is from Belgium. And then stage three was won by Jurgen Zomermand, who is from Holland. And the stage one winner was the Israeli gentleman Itamar Einhorn. So he won 1-6. So maybe no real surprise that an Eritrean had the best performance at the Tour de Rwanda. As we know, the East Africans seem to have figured out cycling, performing well. But good to see another successful edition. Even though actually at one of the stages there was an accident that resulted in the death of two spectators. I'm not too sure on the details, but one of the stages, I believe it was stage two, which is why on this list there's no stage two winner perhaps, but there was a situation where a caravan collided with members of the crowd that resulted in the death of supporters. So let me get the details for you in detail. Okay. Stage 1 of the 2026 Tour de Rwanda was meant to celebrate Rwanda's growing reputation in cycling. Instead, it ended in tragedy. Two separate spectators were killed and six others injured when a caravan vehicle, part of the race convoy, veered off the course between Nyagatare and Kabarore. Among the victims was Etienne Ndagigimana, a father who was in his 30s, who worked issuing bus tickets for Yahoo Car Express in Rwanda's eastern province. The other was a young girl, Mushesa, aged at around 12, the report says. So unfortunate scenes coming from there. No real official statements yet regarding this, which is, I find quite odd, actually. That, the race organizers didn't say anything, but the president of the UCI, David Lapatient, who we interviewed last year, searched that up on our social media pages. He tweeted and said, we are deeply saddened to hear of the tragic accident during the Tour of Rwanda. The UCI sends its condolences to the friends and the families affected and wishes a quick recovery to those injured. Then it says that a moment of silence was observed on February 22, 2026 to honor the victims who were killed during the opening stage. Wow, what a way to open a tournament. I mean, yeah, that's very unfortunate, actually, because the Tour de Rwanda is one of the, when it comes to the scenes from the Tour de Rwanda, like the images, similar to the UCI World Championship last year, it's just a beautiful race. So very unfortunate that it started this way. But other than that, if you can even say that, other than that, it was obviously another huge success and Rwanda proved once again to have the ability to host international sporting events. And speaking of international events, in some more, in some rather unfortunate news, let me put it that way. As we know, what's happening right now in the Middle East with Iran, Israel, and the USA, and in the sporting context, Iran's World Cup place is currently in limbo. The chances of Iran playing in the 2026 FIFA World Cup have significantly decreased following, as we know, a U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran over the weekend that's still ongoing now and being felt by other parts of the Middle East. Iran, for those that don't know, they qualified for the upcoming tournament in March of last year, and this was their fourth consecutive qualification and seventh overall. And they were drawn in a group, that is Group G, with Belgium, Egypt, and New Zealand. And the Iranian Football Federation President Mehdi Taj was speaking on Iranian TV over the weekend, and he said, with that attack by the United States, it is unlikely that we can look forward to the World Cup. But the sports chiefs, which I would think that the president of the FA is among the sports chiefs, but he said, but the sports chiefs are the ones who must decide on that. So basically he's saying, in other words, if it were up to him, they wouldn't be participating in this upcoming World Cup. And I read a report that, if Iran were to pull out, let me finish the statement. The FIFA General Secretary Matthias Grafström said in a statement yesterday, "We had a meeting and it is premature to comment in detail, but we monitor developments around all issues around the world." So basically a nothing statement from FIFA in regards to Iran potentially pulling out. And interestingly enough, ironically enough, the FIFA president Infantino, Gianni Infantino, awarded U.S. President Donald Trump with the FIFA Peace Prize that, honestly, prior to that, I never even heard of. But it looks away when someone you award a Peace Prize 3 months later is the reason a team potentially will not participate in your tournament. Just how many months would that be? In 9 months from when you gave him the Peace Prize. So unfortunate scenes there. But if it were to happen that Iran pulled out of the World Cup, which is looking very likely, what would happen is Iraq, who are due to compete in the continental playoff against Bolivia or Suriname later this year to fight for a place at the World Cup, they would replace Iran in the World Cup. And then the UAE, who is also now involved in this, they would be the ones that would take Iraq's place in the playoff. So if Iran pulls out, Iraq gets upgraded, so to say, from the playoffs straight to the World Cup, and then the UAE gets another chance to qualify for the World Cup by taking Iraq's place in the playoffs. So, you know, everyone likes to pretend like politics and sports don't go together. It's clear once again. Here's another example. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. Politics and sports, they go together. They influence each other. They have I would almost say directly proportional relationship. Because what happens in politics always has and will continue to affect what happens in the sporting world. Now, the number in the studio is 0832888401. That's 0832888401. Don't forget, tomorrow the Villager e-paper will be published. If you are not a subscriber yet, simply send us a WhatsApp message at 0812414144. That's 0812414144. Make sure you save the number as a contact. Let us know you'd like to become a subscriber, and you can subscribe to the Villager e-paper for a total of $0 and 0 Namibian cents. It'll be sent to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on the other side of these great tunes by our Uncle Jimmy Cliff, we will be back to wrap up the show. We'll be right back.
I am feeling very Olympic today.
Gone are the dark clouds that ate me up.
Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm alright, my brother, man.
What would you like to share with us today?
Yeah, first of all, I want to congratulate the Bravo creator.
Yes, yes, yes. They did very well.
Well done, yeah. Nobody was expecting them to beat the Zambia.
Yeah, and then to beat South Africa also.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, they beat
them. Well done to the girls.
They beat the Giants.
Yeah, very much.
Mm-hmm.
Serious.
Yeah.
Well, indeed, they've done well. And I think if they can get that squad, we can do a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, hopefully they can qualify for the next Women's AFCON.
Yeah, African Cup. Yeah, very much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, serious. Yeah, I think when it comes to geopolitical, when it comes to football,
yeah.
FIFA is not playing fair game.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because now what is are supposed to do? They're supposed to ban USA participating. Because remember, there are a lot of countries drawing even their supporters.
Yeah.
Like, including South Africa and Denmark. I don't know much about when it comes to other Africans.
Yeah.
But the thing that is affecting most Africans, because remember, we are in the sanction. I'm not the sanction, but this tariff of traveling then when it comes to Africa.
Yes.
Most of the countries which are qualified. But only the person which I see protesting only South Africa. Mm-hmm. In Africa. But most of the countries, yes. But I see Denmark supporters and the US. I think also UK, some of the UK supporters and others, they are withdrawing to attend their match in America. And I think if people are doing that, why FIFA cannot come on board? If they can involve, because it doesn't make sense for you to sanction even Iran, clearly America starts the war.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, I don't understand that. This is what we do. And we are talking about fairness and what.
Mm-hmm.
So, it really doesn't apply.
Yeah,
what are they supposed to do now? I think they're supposed to ban USA to participate. In the World Cup. Because there are so many weird things which they need to deal with it. First of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are the one who are really even taking president from other countries. And they still not heard the FIFA doing anything. But they are able to ban what? Russia.
Yeah, when it was Russia.
And why they cannot do the same? Yeah.
Yeah, but politics. Politics. Yeah.
No. It's very dedicated. But serious, sometimes you know, we everybody can, even our men can see that, you know, he doesn't apply fairness.
Yeah.
Anyway, my brother, that's all what I want. Maybe you can give me the result of Chula Chula today. Because yesterday they lost.
Chula Chula today, 1 second, let me just double check here. Chula, they beat Rundu Chiefs 1-0.
Oh, at least they won today, eh?
Yeah, they won today.
I don't know. If we be able to win today the game. But the way things are looking, not so good.
Yeah, right now it's 1-1. No, it's 2-1 now for us, no.
Oh, we pull up. It's 2-1 now. Eh?
Yeah, 2-1 now. 67 minutes played. Yeah, 2-1 for us now.
Yeah. Nothing too much point there, no. With your gradual game, we still have a game with them. It's not to be easy.
Mm.
I don't understand. Zanjevic, we are just doing well, man. Down, we are just dropping points, even with against Wolves. Hey, come on, man.
Yeah, man.
One more.
Manchester City is coming.
Yeah, exactly. And that guy, you know, he's Takati.
Yeah.
I hope today we can win, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, thank you for calling.
All right, my boss.
Have a good night. Yes, there was a cooler contribution there. And unfortunately, that is all the time I have for tonight. This has been another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I will be with you same time, same place next weekend. Another great round of applause to the Braver Gladiators and Zenata Coleman for doing the nation proud. Zenata getting the Man of the Match award and bowing out of COSAFA competition. She's not retiring from the national team. Fear not, as we heard in the press conference. She still wants to reach the Women's African Cup of Nations tournament. But she's definitely served the nation great, played in countless number of COSAFA tournaments. I can't even count. But yes, this has been another edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. I'll see you same time, same place, and I'll leave you in the hands of first Mr. Jimmy Cliff and then none other than the matriarch.